So we've been talking about the kingdom, haven't we? And it's good, Buddy, for sharing some of that, that it becomes something that becomes so valuable to you that you're going to let go of everything else in order to get it. It has to be that way, or you don't go into the kingdom. You kind of stay where you're at. But the reward is what we're going towards, and we found a treasure in this place. But there is this corresponding and contingent letting go of other things that will enable it to be everything it can be. And so we're looking at the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Jesus said, let's go right to our verse right here. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? Everything else will be added to you. Yeah, I think Hunter was kind of referring to this morning. Is there these other things in our life that they can kind of consume us. But until you let them go, until you let go of those other things, you can't actually get an answer to them. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? You're striving so hard to get things, and you just got the wrong formula going on. And Jesus said, you know, if you'll seek my kingdom, all the things that you desire and you have need of, they will come to you rather than you going to them. Isn't that good? So we're looking at what that means, and we've looked at part of this. Well, let me just go right on down here. I want to look at this word first of all. Seek. Because it's not just going on hide and go seek. Go find somebody. But there's, I think what the parable that Buddy was referring to has something to do with it. Your heart gets connected and you're realizing you're actually going to get something. You're actually going to acquire something. So I pulled some of the definitions out of my Bible app and kind of gave my little slant on it a little bit myself. But to seek is desiring. And I like this part of it. It's requiring. It's not just you think it'd be fun to go on a search, but you actually have to get this, right? Yeah. And so there's a desire. How many know that we're fueled by desires all the time? How many want a Big Mac right now? Nobody wants a Big Mac. No, you're good people. Oh, somebody raised their hand back here. Don't you remember the days? It's like I've been looking at these commercials that they put. The commercials always look so much better than when you actually go order the thing, don't they? It's like, wow, I thought it was going to be this big, and now it's like this big, right? But, man, I'm looking at some of those commercials, and I'm thinking, those days are over. I'm just not going there no more, right? But for some reason, when you're young, you think you can just eat anything, right? And so your desires drive you. I remember I used to think if I only went to fast food once during the day, that was a good thing. I thought I was really doing well, you know. And so then I could order a big Coke or whatever, and I thought I was doing well because I'm not going to eat like that the rest of the day. But how many know that after a while, it's like once a day is bad, you know, once you start doing it. But when you're driven by that, and they put so much, hopefully they're going to fix some of this, but they put so much in our food that makes you want to go back to stuff, you know. So, but it's all driven by desire, isn't it? In fact, you think you have to have that. If I haven't had 3 meals, I'm just going to die. That's what's so much fun about a fasting time. And I don't know how y'all are doing this or not, but, man, I know Levi and I are really hitting it hard. Levi's kind of my fluid buddy. We're just drinking fluids, you know. we're just liquids only, you know. It's like, and man, those first couple days, especially, man, it's hollering. You're gonna die. Do something about it. Right? But we're getting to the place. So I think, are you kind of this way? Are we? I'm saying it's a general thing that can happen. You find out that you don't have to eat that every day. You don't have to have that thing. Now, you do need to eat, you know, and you do need to be nourished, but we're so driven by our requirements that, man, I'm going to go. And then, man, we get satisfied with so many. When we moved to Cedar Park, there was Chili's. That's all there was. But they've blessed us with so many options now that you can seek out. You can seek. to answer that desire, that requirement, right? And you go take care of it, right? Okay. So that's what you're doing when you're seeking out. And they've given us Google to help us with that now, too. We can find out, oh, man, where can you eat now? But so there's a desire and a requiring that fuels a search to find in order to worship and to serve. Can we see? Man, we can keep this food thing going if you want. What happens? Man, you should see. Well, Braden's in his growing years right now. And man, when he sees that guy walking up with that plate, he's already worshiping that food. And he's fixing to serve it. He's fixing to do something with it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's he's not just talking about a seeking just to discover something. No, it's something that you require that when you get it, it's going to be something to you that's very significant. So much so that you're going to do something about it. You're going to serve it. Can you see that? Can we look at seeking the kingdom in that regard? Amen? Okay. So then let's look at what the kingdom is, all right? And we've gone over this before, but I just want to remind us. First of all, you have to have a king. And we're going to look at this today because a king isn't just a nice guy that says, all right, I'm a king now. A king has to have what? He has to have some ways to do things first, right? He's going to have some ideas. I'm so grateful we have a man now in our country that has some ways to fix some things, right? Because you can call yourself a leader all you want, but if you don't have some ways to fix things, you ain't going anywhere that anybody's going to follow. Is that right? Okay, so you have to have some ideas about getting some things done, but if you don't have some people, you ain't a king. You have to have people to be a king, right? And then you have to have a place for those people to be. You have to have a realm. You have to have a territory. And we might look at that a little bit less next week. But I want to look today about the people. Because when you think about seeking the kingdom of God, I don't know about you, but I haven't thought about seeking his people. And so we're going to have to look at what that might be. Because it's the kingdom isn't just a king. I'm so grateful we have a wonderful king that we can worship. And we've talked about that already. I'm so grateful that he has wonderful ways that we can align ourselves with and lay ourselves down and follow in his ways. But the whole purpose of doing that, when we start following in his ways are going to be his heart, aren't they? They're going to be what he wants to accomplish. So once you discover what he's wanting to accomplish, you're going to find out that he's all about people. See, you can't get the king, you can't get his ways without seeking what that means about his people. Now, we got some good stuff here today. Amen. Father, we just thank you today, Lord God, that we've gotten to run into your presence. Lord, we've cast our cares down at your feet, Lord God, and we've worshiped you with all of our hearts. We've put our heads down below our hearts, Lord God. We've allowed your heart to lead us today. And God, we just ask you, Lord, to fill us something in our minds, in our souls right now, God, that we can apply, that we can be what you need us to be in this coming year. And God, as we give ourselves to it first above anything else, God, we just have this great expectancy that way beyond our ability to provide for ourselves, you're our caregiver, you're our king, you're our provider, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we just worship you now and ask you to help us with this. Lord, we don't want to miss out on what you've provided for us in Christ to be a part of your kingdom, Lord God. Oh, we found a treasure and we've found it in your word. It's hidden in your word. And God, we've gone and we've gotten rid of everything else. And we said, this is all we need is what you have for us. Show it to us today, Lord God. Make it ours, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So we're just going to look at what the people are. Remember how they came up with these little figures called peoples. What's that? Oh, Buddy used to play with peoples? Oh, okay. I never played with those, but just little figures. But we're the people of God. And so who are the people that we're talking about? And there's just some things I want to draw out here that I think are critical for us. I've got some passages. You know, Jesus is the one that spoke about this the most. And so I've got some, I'm going to read through these and we'll draw some things out from them as we go. But who is the greatest in the kingdom? And he actually uses two different references of who's great in the kingdom. The first of all we're going to look at is a child. Okay? And let's read this in Matthew 18:1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of God?" Now, we could ask that, and I think we already have a preconceived idea, and we stereotype who we think is significant in the kingdom. How many would believe that Billy Graham is significant in the kingdom? How many would believe that Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, people like that are significant in the kingdom? Amen? And I think the disciples were coming to him with the same thing. It's like, all right, Jesus, give us an idea of how spiritual you have to be somebody in the kingdom. And Jesus comes back with, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." You don't get to even go there unless you go there as a child. Now, I know we're already there, but I believe there's this attitude we need to have that I'm going there today. This is where I live. I live in the kingdom. And to do so, I'm going to have to be like a child, first of all. I'm not. And so what are the characteristics? Oh, let me finish reading this. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself," so who has to do this? We have to do it ourselves. "As this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God, of heaven." Who's the greatest? Not Billy Graham. Not just because he's Billy Graham. He might be. But he's great not because he's spiritual and knows how to pontificate, but because he's like a child. Okay? "And whoever receives one little child like this in my name is receiving" who? The king. So here's what happens in the kingdom of God. How do we love God? We love him through his people. In fact, you cannot love God without loving his people. Is that right? We have to. Can you see how significant this becomes? I hadn't really thought about this as much until I started looking at this. Is to seek the kingdom first, I'm going to have to seek his people. He's saying, you know what? I'm going to provide for you, but what about this person right here? What are you doing about this? Because you have a responsibility in the kingdom. You can't go this way without going this way. Right? So, what you're doing with his body, what you're doing with his peoples, is exactly what you're doing with him. He considers it that great. Because let's look at what a king is. First of all, before I get into the... I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit. I want to look at what a child is. But what is a king, first of all? Again, we said the king is nobody unless he has people. And what is his purpose as a king? Is to provide for his people, isn't it? To care for his people. To protect his people. He's all about people because he ain't a king without people. So he's all about people. So if that's who he is and that's all he's about, the best thing you can do is take care of his people. If you're going to seek him, you're going to seek taking care of his people. Man, this is good. This is good. All right. So what is a child? And I just want to point out some things about a child. So, because he didn't really say the characteristics that he's thinking about with a child. But what is a child? First of all, they're innocent, aren't they? They're not filled up with pride about who they are. Now, you know, especially little boys can be a challenge sometimes, you know. They learn how to say no real fast, you know, and all of that. But what is, a little child, especially a real little child, they're just innocent. They haven't figured everything out yet. And they're ready to be shown something. They're little sponges when it comes to learning things, because they're not so consumed with it they think they already know. And they haven't violated their conscience yet, so they're innocent. And they're fresh. How many know this is what should happen to us in Christ? We're born again. We become a child of God. And what does he do? He makes us innocent. He makes us pure. He makes us free of all the stuff we've done before, and now we're ready to take on something new. So they're innocent. Man, they'll believe anything you say, won't they? If you tell them there's a Santa Claus, they'll believe there's a Santa Claus. We never went that direction. Did we ever? We never. Did we play, pretend like, was there Chris? I don't know.
You wouldn't even talk about it, and then Mom would be like, this one's from Santa.
And they said, who's Santa? We never talked about him before.
Oh, he gave me that one and he gave me all the other ones, I guess.
But they're ready to believe anything, aren't they? You know, when we come into the kingdom, we can't come in with a looking sideways at everything, wondering whether we're going to believe something or not. God says it, and what happens? We believe it. Why? Because of how spiritual we are? No, because we've humbled ourselves and come as a child. It's not what we've learned. It's not how great we are. It's not how long we've been in the kingdom. It's how much of a child we are. Amen? Yeah. You know what a child is forgiving. Yeah. You know how quickly they can forget something that you did wrong to them? Not quite as good as my dog. Isn't that amazing how dogs are so good? I'm sorry, I just thought of that. Man, you can correct your dog and they just come right back and just start licking you again like you didn't ever do anything to them. But kids can almost be that way, you know? And here's one that I just wanted to put on here, because here's one thing that is just really prevalent with children is they ain't perfect. They don't have things figured out yet, do they? Here's how we have to look at each other, too. Is we're not there yet. We have a lot to learn. That's a characteristic of a child, isn't it? Yeah, and you recognize that, man, there's a lot for me to learn, so I'm going to give myself a break. Give myself a break. Give myself a break, and you too. Right? All right, so he says, you're going to have to come. And those are the kind that the kingdom of are made up of. And once you realize that's who you are, then you can begin to look at others in that same way. All right, let's look at 1 John. See, you can't seek to know and love the king and not his children. Man, I said this already, but let's look at what 1 John says about this. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Oh, man, this is good, isn't it? How many ever feel like, oh, God, where are you? I can't see you. I wish I could see you, God. It's easy to do, to get to that place. And if you can just hear his voice talking back to you, he said, who's right there in front of you? Stephen's right there. Take a look. So remember what Jesus did, the same thing. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, show us the Father. They're wanting something else. And he's, what did he say? He said, can you see me right now? Can you see me right now? Could you see me, and who do you see? You see the Father. You see the King. If you're wanting to see the King, don't be looking around people. Get out of the way. I'm trying to see the King. No. He says, look at the people. My people are me. My people are my kingdom. Oh. And you know what it does to a king if you don't acknowledge his people? You know what it does to a parent if how you treat Samuel's going to have something to do with JP's opinion of you. Right? You know, I can't be ignoring him. I can't be mistreating him and expect to be honoring him. No, he says, no, exactly what you're doing to my child is what you're doing to me. So if we're going to seek his kingdom, we're going to have to seek how we need to be treating his people. All right. So Mark 9:35. Receiving a child equals receiving the Father. Mark 9:35, and he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Man, that just does not really make any sense at all. You want to be the greatest, you become the last. What does that mean? Everybody else is in front of me when it comes to priority. How are we gonna treat his people? He's saying this is how you do it. Then he took a little child and set him up in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Ah, Jesus came to be what? Somebody that we can actually see so that we can behold, that we can know the one that we can't see, the Almighty God. All right, let's look at this next one. Matthew 20. Great, the one who serves the most. We're looking at what? What the kingdom is, the peoples of the kingdom. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. What is he talking about? Like a political system? What are they just want power so they can wield it over people. He said, this is not how the kingdom is. I don't want to get to a position, man, and I want to encourage us in this. Man, we're going to get to it at the end here, but the reason we're in this kingdom is not for our position. It's not for to be acknowledged. It's not to be noticed what I did. What is the one reason, even we've touched on so far, it's to build up the people, somebody else. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let them be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Man, this is key, isn't it? If we're going to follow in his example, we're going to have a heart for his people. You can't be consumed with the glory of God without being affected in your vision of his people. And again, what is seeking the kingdom? It's having a compelling passion and desire and requirement to seek out something so that you can worship it and serve it. Now, let's just use this worship and serving thing just real quick, because worshiping is not necessarily elevating to the level of God, but it's elevating to the level of service, right? We need to do that with each other. Now, there are scriptures that talk about wives honoring their husbands, and some of the translations are very wonderful because they call it worship. Now, I just made that one up because I thought it was, no, I think there might actually be. But now here's the cool thing about that same part that talks about that. It talks about the husband laying down his life for his wife like Christ did for the church, and talk about worship. You don't lay your life down for somebody that you don't exalt. You value them so highly. Jesus actually, in a way, worshiped us by laying down his life for us. Can we see it in that regard to where it doesn't become sacrilegious to use that word? Because we're going to need to seek out with a desire and a requirement. I require his people. If I'm going to have his kingdom, I require his people. I can't abandon the assembling of us together because I would be abandoning his people. And his people need me, and I need them. Is this right? Okay. All right. Matthew 25. Man, and this is going to be a passage for us to go through. Hey, we're doing good, though, this morning, and we're not, don't have too much more. Are you good? Because this is essential, isn't it? And I like what we're talking about, and it's kind of coming at it a little bit different direction, isn't it? About our body. We have to be connected here. I'll tell you what, God has some plans for us in this coming year. But we're not going there by just going to him for it. We're going to have to say, God, how are we going to go to each other for this? We require, and man, I encourage us in prayer. We have one more week of designated prayer like this, but this should be our life. Even fasting should be something that we give ourselves to consistently. But what needs to be taking place most of all in this is we get transformed into not just the image of Christ, but the nature. He actually gives us his divine nature. And what is that going to be? It's going to be a heart, a compelling passion and desire to seek out those in our body, those that need to get into our body, that we can become joined together with. But let's look here at Matthew 25, 33. Praise God. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Okay, this is a very wonderful parable if you're on the right side of it. Okay. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, who are those on his right hand? The sheep. Those are the ones that were like children, right? They were the ones that followed the shepherd. Then, okay, and who's saying this? The king. The king is saying this. This sounds like a kingdom thing, doesn't it? Will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. How many would love to have that said to you? It's not going to be just said to you, according to what he's saying, just because you prayed a salvation prayer. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Don't you like how I'm saying me? Take notice of that, please. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, see, they didn't even know they were doing this. It should be something that's just our nature. That we just gravitate to this because this is our DNA now. How many know that there's a lot of things that are affecting or can affect our DNA now? I'll tell you what, our DNA should be affected by our exposure to the glory of God. In the kingdom of God, our passion for it. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Okay, I got you going on now, right? Or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Man, did you see that many yous in there before? It's because he's talking to the sheep. Okay. I'm sorry. That was just it just came to me. It had to be the Holy Spirit, I think. When did we see you, a stranger, and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to who? Me. Now, let's look at how critical this is. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, who are those? Those are the goats, right? Depart from me, you cursed, even into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison or did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Who's talking here? This is Jesus, isn't it? Now, there's two sides to what he's talking about. That when you do something, you're actually doing it to him. And when you don't do it, you're actually sinning against him. It's not just that you didn't do something. There's punishment on the other side of it. So here's what we don't know when we sign up. Like, how many want to make Jesus your Lord? Oh, it's me. What you don't realize is you're signing up to be part of the kingdom. And there's new rules in this kingdom. There's rules of service, isn't there? So it becomes something that is not just optional. You saw, that's not me. That's not my gift. What I'm gifted in is business. What I'm gifted in is these other things. Now he says, once you become a part of the kingdom, how you're taking care of the people. Isn't this interesting? He didn't say how smart you are, how much study you do, how much praying you do, how much you come to me, how much time you spend in my presence. No, what makes the difference? What you're doing for my people. So seeking his people becomes something that must be a priority, isn't it? It's not something you can take optional. It has to become part of your calendar. Maybe a priority on your calendar. If it means life or death, eternal punishment, I think I'm just going to do it just to be wise. There's so many benefits. But what did he say? There's benefits. How you treat everybody. This isn't just people that you like. This is everybody, isn't it? In fact, especially the ones you might not like. Aren't you glad? I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that Jesus loves us. When we were yet sinners, he laid his life down for us. And he's saying, I expect the same from you. I expect the same. All right. To seek the king and kingdom, we seek a place in his body. So if this is true, if Jesus says what you're doing for me is not optional, then I'm going to have to find out, okay, what do I need to be doing? How am I serving Christ by serving his people? Because he says, you are already either doing it or you're not. Ephesians 4:11. Let's look at this. And we've seen it in another light, but I thought, man, this is such a great way to end this because I believe there's a place for us to in our seeking his kingdom, in our seeking his heart, the king, his ways. The whole purpose of that is to become a living stone in a building he's creating, in a temple that he's forming. And what is the purpose of that temple? It's to care for people. And he himself gave some. Who's doing this? This is the king. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And what is the purpose of this? To equip the saints. Who are the saints? The peoples. For the work of ministry. So this isn't just ministers that do it. The people are ministering. So that means everybody is part of the ministry process. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to what? A perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? Till we're looking like Christ. How many know we have somewhere to go with this? We're here for that purpose today, aren't we? Aren't you glad for the grace of God that helps us in this? But we have to give ourselves to it. We have to seek it. We have to realize it's not something where we've already acquired. I like Paul in his approach to this. He says, I just count everything that I've done already as not just waste, but stinky waste. Because there's so much before me to acquire. And he said, and I believe Paul right up to the end had the heart of a child saying, I'm just so excited about what's before me. I'm so excited about where I'm, because otherwise what you do, you stop searching if you get content with where you're at. If you become an old person, you just become content with watching whatever's on at the moment, you know? But when you're a child, you're always looking for something to do. Man, our grandkids coming, man, they are they're, the house is noisy because they just don't stop at all. They're going and they're going and they're going. And you know what? I'm stirred up. So next month is my Medicare month. And it's like, how did this sneak up on me? You know. But I defy age with regard to the kingdom stuff. Let's do that. Let's say, that's not who I am. I'm a child. There's fresh stuff before me. There's things that... That I can only do now that I never could do before. That God has prepared, everything that's gone before me has prepared me for this moment. This is what God has for us, isn't it? But where is that going to be? I'm going to have to say, okay, so what is that? And we start seeking that in our times with the Father, in our times when we're saying, okay, I'm doing without the other stuff in my life. I'm not going to eat some food. I'm not going to be entertained in this way, whatever. I'm going to fast from that so that I can get the kingdom. I can get, you can reveal to me. I'm already there. Okay, show me how to be better at it. Show me how to walk in it. Show me how to listen to your voice in it, to be more effective. Why? Because he's given us all a place. And we have to seek that out. How to grow in it. How to develop in it. How to be what we're supposed to be. There's certain things we're all supposed to be. We're all supposed to be givers. We're all supposed to be prayers. These encouragers. I mean, there's some things we just, and lovers. I mean, we're just supposed to, like I said, we're supposed to overlook. It's supposed to be like we don't even know when somebody does something wrong. Let alone tell somebody else that they did it. You know what I mean? Why? Because they're a child too, and I'm giving them a break so they'll give me a break. Should be some of that going on. And I've been given the biggest break of all. How can I hold anything against anybody else? Is that right? Yes. Till we come to the unity. So God has a purpose for us in this kingdom to present Jesus, to present an image of him that's not colored, that's not veiled, by humanity. We're in this kingdom, aren't we? We need to represent the King. That we should no longer be children. Now, I just said we all have to be children, but in the sense that we just do things that are mindless. We're not just goofballs anymore. No, we've been helped by each other. We've received the word and we've grown. Now, we have a long ways to go, but we're not just tossed around by anything anymore. We're not just gullible, right? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is the people part of the kingdom. And it's the new kingdom Jesus heralded and he brought into pass. He said, this kingdom is not of my world. We can't make it a worldly thing. It has to be an eternal kingdom. It has to be, we're going somewhere else in this. And because of that, our place in his body can't be just a worldly place. And we don't own it. It's something he's given us. So now we say, I just present my body now as a living sacrifice to whatever needs to be done in your kingdom. Yeah. For what purpose? For your people. Yeah. Oh man, this is so good. We need to get this out of just the God realm into the people realm. We're not getting anywhere with God that we're not being affected with in people. This will affect how we treat each other. Man, this makes love just work, doesn't it? When you start realizing that this is what it's all about. I can't be offended by anybody. How many get offended by God? We can wonder about some things, but I'm not going to allow there to be a response of offense towards anybody. Because when you do that, you're doing it unto God. Oh, let's realize that. Everything we're doing is unto God. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we just...